We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with our scripture readings.
Our first reading for today is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. But there is no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulders, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Here ends the reading. Our epistle reading for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you are baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of Christ is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Here ends the reading. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Our gospel lesson for the third Sunday after Epiphany tells us that Jesus shined the light of his gospel upon people who were in darkness by calling his disciples to proclaim the gospel throughout the world. It's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from around the Jordan. Here ends the gospel reading. You may be seated as we sing, Come, Lord Jesus.
Well, grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I first got into college, in one of my classes, we had a great divide, you might say. The divide was basically pretty much a divide between those that had gone straight from high school into college and those that had gone on and had a career, whether that career lasted 2 years or 10 years, and then decided to come back to college. We sometimes called them the second careers. The divide took place very much. In one class in particular, it was quite significant. And here's how the divide worked. Those that were coming straight from high school into college had a tendency to want to understand the concepts, but then wanted to move on. Give me the concept, help me understand it, and then we move on. On and on she goes. But the second careers, they tried to understand the concepts, usually by associating it with some other element of their life. So they would usually raise their hand, tell a story, and then ask, is it kind of like that? You know how long it takes to tell a story. And so it would take a long time. And so some of these concepts that you thought were really easy to understand would a lot of times take a lot of class time as people tried to kind of wrap their heads around them. And this was really significant when we got to Greek class. You wouldn't think you could have a story on the article or a participle, but they were there. And we had those stories. And so we had this great kind of divide, you might say. Now, I should say that all of us were pretty much friends. We ate lunch together. Sometimes we ate dinner together. Some of them lived off campus. Some of them lived on campus. So this was not the kind of divide that had a lot of tension in it. But it was still a tension in terms of the classroom environment and all those kind of things. It was very frustrating at times. And so I have to ask, have you ever had that kind of frustration? Have you ever had that time where you had something that seemed maybe small or maybe insignificant, but for whatever reason, it just kind of nagged at you? And after a while, you found yourself growing incredibly frustrated over something that seemed so minor. Or maybe after a while, it wasn't minor anymore. It was actually some major thing. And all of a sudden, you had that deep-rooted frustration, that deep-rooted divide between you and whatever else it happened to be. I don't think it takes us very long to figure this out, right? You go online or you go watch TV and you see a great divide seemingly everywhere you go. There seems to be a great divide in all kinds of things and in everything. And so we take all of that, we take that divide, we take that frustration, and we kind of look for advice and we bring it to Holy Scripture and we find ourselves face to face with 1 Corinthians, with Paul. As he's talking to this church that is experiencing a great divide, a church where there's argumentation, where there's fighting. And we look at the words of Paul and what he has to say. And I'll be honest, the first reaction is usually, we didn't really want to hear that. Paul kind of takes the Corinthians to task a little bit, but even more than that, what he says, at least at first, does not sound like advice that you give to somebody in a great divide. You know, read verse 10 again. Don't do that. Don't be divided. That stops a lot of arguments. Just don't fight. Have you ever told that to your siblings, right? Don't fight. But that's what Paul kind of starts with. Now, that's not where he ends. And in fact, as the argumentation for this whole passage and really the whole book comes along, he's going to set forth some parameters in terms of how to deal with this great divide, with this great frustration that these guys are experiencing. But even now, as we read through this text, we can kind of see Paul's frustration level kind of rise. It kind of starts off at the beginning, and then as by the time you get to verse 10 and so on and so forth, you can kind of see it. You can kind of see, they're all claiming, oh, I follow Apollos, and I follow Paul, and I follow, as if these people are all divided and they're saying different things, when in reality they're not. It gets so bad that Paul actually says that he's glad he didn't baptize many of them. And read through that text again, you can kind of picture it, can't you? Paul's over there, and he's like, I'm glad I only baptized these two, and then somebody off to the side says, don't forget about the Stephanus family. Oh, yeah. Okay, I baptized them too, but I don't remember anybody else. He's rejoicing that he didn't baptize some of these people, that they were baptized through somebody else, so they couldn't claim his name. But the foundation comes when he starts talking about the cross of Christ. And this is really the primary foundation of this entire book. Everything seems to come back to this. If it contradicts Scripture, if it contradicts God's Word, don't do it. No matter how foolish it may make you appear to everywhere else, no matter how foolish you may appear to the rest of the world, if it contradicts Scripture, you don't do it. You can see this even at the end of our text for today, as Paul kind of readdresses this point. He addressed it again in verses 1 through 9, as we talked about a little bit last week. And that's great. That's good. That's good news. That's good advice. That's exactly what we need to hear. But what about some of those other questions, right? What about that great divide over what I should bring to the next potluck? Or how much TV I should allow my kids to watch? What about things like that? What about those questions that aren't addressed by the very Word of Christ? How do we deal with those? And you see, Paul actually begins to address that too. Not so much in this text, but as you go later in the book, you're going to see that Paul develops a kind of system to deal with this. And basically, it comes down to this. Pay attention to your brothers and sisters in Christ. How are they going to be impacted by your decision? How are they going to deal with what you are bringing about? We need to look at our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to look at how our decisions not just impact ourselves, but also what it's going to do for them and how it's going to impact them. To put it to you another way, to kind of come back to that example I had at the beginning, what us, in terms of our group of people that had come straight from high school into college, should have done was we should have had that conversation, and we should have started talking about, hey, how is our decision to rush things through going to impact these other students? Now notice I talk about that in the past tense, and I don't talk about it like we did it. Because you see, it's one of my failures. One of the many. I mean, I have failed at this so many times. So many times. And if you're thinking to yourself about some of those times when you failed, join the club. But this is part of the reason that foundation on Christ Jesus is so important. Because you see, it's in that foundation of Christ that we know that our salvation is not through what we do, but through what Christ has done. This is why it is everything. This is why we start, and our foundation is on this. Because everything we do does not somehow earn us to heaven or take us away, but it is through Christ alone and through His work that we have salvation, that we are redeemed by His blood. And through His work. It's why in our own worlds we need to look through the lens of what Christ has done as we look out at the world around us and as we think and care about our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We don't do it because we're earning anything. We do it because everything has already been earned. Not through us, but through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in Him be the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we now confess our sins in the words of a prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before You this day, Lord, and we ask that You would be with us. We ask, Lord, that You would forgive us of our sins, that we have sinned against You in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. We come before You this day to confess them, to seek forgiveness for the sake of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us now as we confess our sins before You in a moment of silence. Hear us, O Lord, for the sake of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as our service now continues with our gifts and our offerings. If you could find that book of friendship found on the side by the aisles and sign that and get to know the people around you, that'd be great.
Give us your counsel, help us.
servants of our military, Almighty God, and comfort them with the promise of your presence, especially those who are members and relatives of our Sanford family. Great physician, we commend to you Lou Clockingay and Jane Ladendorf, who were dismissed from the hospital and are recovering at home. In a time of silence, we ask you to bless others who are near and dear to us and are hurting in one way or another, and now name in our hearts. Hear us for Jesus' sake. As we pray daily for families of our congregation, we offer special petitions this morning for the Fraser, the Freed, and the Frederick families, that you would give them an extra portion of your loving care. Father God, your Son has prepared for us a feast that we might not grow weary in the struggles of this life. Give to all who come to this holy altar repentant hearts and a firm trust in the promise of our Savior, that here we will receive with his body and blood the forgiveness of all of our sins and the gift of life that death cannot take away. Receive these prayers, Heavenly Father, and whatever else you know us to need, grant us, we pray, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." You may be seated as we now continue with the Lord's Supper.
Thank you.
Please stand for the benediction. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.